Today on Real Radio.
Are you a believer in Jesus? Are you following him? Jesus says, why do you say that I'm your Lord, but you do not do the things that I say? So when I speak about brethren, I'm talking about those who, there should be something in the nature of the brethren.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 15, Paul explains and defends the resurrection, some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation. In the last 9 verses, he declares what will happen when our bodies are transformed in that resurrection. And as we're hearing, this hope is for the believer only. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called On Your Mark, Get Set.
And the answer will be those next 3 points. And I got to tell you, as we get into this, look at verse 50. It is awesome. It is wonderful. It's exciting. And is this your hope? He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death. This is from Hosea. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Look at verse 56 now. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Church, listen, by way of introduction, according to the Bible, speaking about itself, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, the Bible. Far too many people today are saying, well, I only read the New Testament. Some people say, well, I only read the red letters of Jesus. I don't read John. I don't read Peter. I don't read Paul. Listen, that is an error on a grand scale. That could cost you your eternal life. The Bible says, the Word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 that he has come to fulfill all the law and the prophets? The Bible is God's preserved word to us. In the original languages without error. And you might say, oh, I don't believe that. Then listen, then launch a crusade, a campaign to discredit the Bible. And then after you get converted in your research, come to us and we'll take you down to the beach and baptize you like we will today. Why? Because everyone who has honestly pursued the debunking of the Bible most often comes to grips with the scripture. And that is just absolutely necessary when we talk about this issue of death and resurrection and the rapture. Yes, the rapture. The rapture is a biblical doctrine. Don't think somebody made it up 100 years ago. Well, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. It is if you're reading a Latin Bible. Look, the word harpazo is not in the English Bible either. But if you're reading Greek, it's the word for rapture, harpazo. I love how that sounds. I want 2 harpazo and a calon. Extra sauce. We use the word caught up or rapture, the rapture. It's a biblical doctrine. Don't let somebody tell you that it's not. You're going to hear Paul argue it. And listen, I don't know about you, but there was a day when I didn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture view. I used to think all the wimpy Christians believed in that. I really did. You know, when you start studying the Bible, you get all excited. And then very quickly, because you're learning the Bible, you start knowing stuff, and then you start thinking, well, you know, I'm smarter than my teachers, which is your first warning. And then you begin to, well, this is how I interpret the Bible. Yeah, boy, you're really spiraling out of control now. And then I listen to people who, when I got saved at Calvary Costa Mesa, it was all about the Lord coming back, and then I got into some other teachings, and I thought, well, those wimpy Christians, those pre-trib guys, they're a bunch of escape artists. They want out of here. Not me. I'm a real Christian. I'm going to lay my head down and get that thing cut off because I'm a real Christian. All these wimpy Christians wanting out of here, well, this rapture, this getting delivered thing. And I thought it was for a bunch of weak people. And then as you grow along in your Christianity for a little bit, God has a way of whittling away your arrogance, and he brought me from pre-tribulation view to post-tribulation view back to pre-tribulation view. Why? Because I was butchering the scriptures to try to fulfill my view. And then I looked at what the Bible had to say, and then I joyfully, gladly returned back to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this study today, remember this, the rapture's under attack. And you all, we all know that. We just went through several months ago, around Christmas time, that the rapture was supposed to happen, or last May. It was just this last May, wasn't it? The rapture was supposed to happen, and it didn't happen, and CNN reported on it. Fox News reported on it. Time Magazine did a thing on it. Worldwide talk. Oh, this guy said the rapture was going to happen, and it didn't happen. Well, listen, of course it didn't happen. If you think you know the day of the rapture, that's the last day the Lord's going to come. Because the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and of that hour no man knows. Regarding the coming of the Lord, Matthew 24:42, Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. So I want to ask you as we go through this study today, are you ready to meet the Lord? On your mark, get set. Listen, before you start writing down point number one, you guys just wanted to throw it up on the screen. I've never done this before. I'm embarrassed of this first point. The first point is bro. I don't like the word bro. I don't use the word bro. I know some of you do, but he is saying, listen, mark this down. Because by the time we come to the end of the message, you'll see why Jack used the word bro. What does bro mean? Brothers. So point number one is, on your mark, get set, bros, brothers, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because there's a change coming. Look at verse 50. Now this I say, what does he say? Bro, brethren, he's talking to the believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, change is coming, verse 50, and he announces this. He says that this corruption, it is absolutely impossible for corruption to inherit incorruption. He's announcing it to the Christians. And I want to make something very clear right now. I say Christian today, and people don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Everybody's a Christian today. I'm convinced Satan's a Christian today. On Sunday, Satan's a Christian. A lot of people today saying they're Christians, but they are not doing what Jesus says. They don't care about doing what Jesus says. They don't care what the Bible says. I'd like to say this today during this study. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about a title. Well, you know, I'm here for an hour. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Are you a believer in Jesus? Are you following him? Jesus says, why do you say that I'm your Lord, but you do not do the things that I say? So when I speak about brethren, I'm talking about those who, there should be something in the nature of the brethren. And that is that we should be understanding this very thing. And it's good news, everybody, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See this skin? It cannot go to heaven the way that it's structured currently. And I'm glad about that. I mentioned in the last few weeks that as we've been looking at resurrection, how dreadfully necessary a change is needed in our lives. Say, yes, I'm going to quit smoking soon. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these carcasses being resurrected or changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. More cologne, more perfume, right? We need to get air purifiers. Lisa said to me last night, we need to get an air purifier. Why? Because as we get older, there's the smell of death in our home. Our dogs are old. We're old. Our furniture is old. Our house is old. Everything's old, and it stinks as it gets older. Everything that is of this corrupt universe is aging, wearing down. It's starting to smell. Man, when I see that in my mind, I see Pigpen from Charlie Brown. Remember Pigpen? He's walking around, and there's fumes rising, and he's standing there talking to his friends, and the fumes are rising. And wherever he's been, have you seen the residual stink from where Pigpen has passed by? That's us. We need a change. Oh, I want to go to heaven. Then you need to be changed. And it's not you taking this flesh and reforming your flesh. That's not going to happen. You and I are looking forward to, as believers, and we're all excited about it, that there's going to be this tremendous change. And yes, it's true. But this corruption, this body's dying, has got to put on incorruption. And it's very powerful because the Bible here, the word uses incorruption. The word means that which cannot be corrupted. You say, well, duh, what else could it mean? It means this: to be in the state of not being able to be corrupted, or to be truly genuine or truly sincere. And I don't mean sincere like nice, but the Bible means, or that word means, without wax, without falsehood, without any impurities, absolutely incorruptible. How many of you are Christians this morning? Raise your hand. Say, Jack, you do this to me every week. I'm going to do it every week too until the Lord comes back. Why? I think it's great to be able to say that in a church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And check this out. I don't know what you think about yourself, but right now, according to the Bible, if you are in Christ, that is, as a believer, you have been declared by God because of the righteousness of Christ that he purchased for you and I at the cross. You have been declared incorruptible by God. We could say that based on this verse, we are the incorruptibles. We are the genuines. We are the sincere's. This is the work of God. This is the power of Christ. Are you in Christ? That's the word. That's the verbiage we ought to use these days. Well, are you a Christian or not? Hey, you know what? Are you in Christ? Because a believer knows what that means. And I love that. I don't know if you've ever been to England. If you've ever been to England, you got to go to Windsor Castle. You got to go. I had an eight-hour layover and took a train, went to Windsor Castle before I had to get back to the airport. That was amazing. Best part about the whole thing was the kings of England, they have in a museum there, and they even have their horses. They stuff their horses, and the horses are literally there like this. And then standing next to the horse, or seated on the horse, is the armor of the king of England. And there's a bunch of these guys. What cracked me up is like a few of them, I mean, they're like 4 feet tall, 5 feet tall. I thought, king of England. And his armor's like this. He's a little guy. Of course, there's nobody in there, but it's representing him. This is Henry VIII. Now, he was a big guy. He was a big guy. His armor is ginormously huge. The thing is, you can't tell because all you see is armor. Listen, if you are after the life of Adam, then you're listening to me right now. You've been born into this world. This world's all that you know, and you're a descendant of Adam, and the Bible's been making it very clear to us every week that as the descendants of Adam, we will die. But if you are in Christ, that is spiritually, if you've been born from above, you are now in Christ. And think about that armor for a moment. The king of England was behind that armor. He was in the armor. And it didn't matter how short or how tall, you had to get to him, you had to go through that armor. And believe me, they made it in such a way, ain't nobody going to get through that armor. And that's how your life is in Jesus Christ. Your life right now, Christian, believer, you are in Christ. You are surrounded by the armor of God. You are surrounded by the truth of God. You are surrounded, you are ensconced by the very provision of God's salvation. Someone Pentecostal say amen to that. Amen. That is good news. That's good news for us. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. No earthly resourcing of our doing can make us fit for heaven. Some of you legalists need to hear this right now. Well, I'm doing pretty good on my, I mean, I'm religious and I'm doing, listen, no part of the flesh and blood shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's got to be changed. That's a powerful thing. The next thing is this, is that verse 51, we learn this, that on your mark, get set, bro, because death doesn't win. Brethren, listen up. Death doesn't win. Many in this church need to be reminded of this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Key words. Behold, open your eyes wide. It implies, understand this, know this, don't be ignorant about it. I tell you a mystery, something that has been not created, but has always been God's truth, but revealed to us in the last days, given to us, meaning that the time is now to know it. This is what God's word says. Well, know what? I love it. I have this marked in my Bible. I have the word we circled. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Paul the Apostle used the we statement. He is looking forward to the imminent return of Christ, that Jesus could come at any moment. Who says? Paul does. He says, we. Don't you love that? He anticipated Christ's return and his lifetime. You say, well, Jack, what a joke. That was 2,000 years ago and Jesus didn't come. Did you know every generation is to anticipate his coming? Do you? Are you? When you understand what is in store, you'll be very happy to. Technically, I want you to look very carefully at this. We shall not all sleep. The word here is speaking about the appearance of a believer's body. It's a very sweet way of saying dead. We shall not all die. Okay, stop right there. Those of you who are struggling with this doctrine, how do you deal with that? He says, I'm going to tell you guys something that previously, it's always been God's truth, but now it's been revealed, previously unknown, but now the time has been revealed that you ought to know this. What is it? There's going to be a generation that doesn't die. Oh, I pray it's today. I pray it's right now. Wow. The Bible says there's a generation that will not die. I want to be that generation. I want to be in that group. And when I read scriptures and when I read the saints that have gone before us, there's a long line of those who wanted to be in that generation. I'm going to quote this verse many times today, so don't think I'm having a seizure. I'm going to be repeating this over and over again. It's 1 Thessalonians 4. It's the sister verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, describing the same event. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, I have that marked in my Bible because I don't want an angel to pick me up. I want Jesus to pick me up. The Lord himself. I love Moses. Moses says, we're not, I mean, this whole escape thing is great, God, but I'm not going without you. That's us today. We're not going without you, Lord. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. What's that going to sound like? With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain, notice where Paul is inserting himself, shall be rapture, harpazo, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. How long? Always. Therefore, look at verse 18. Worry yourself sick, panic, and freak out about this. No, it should be great comfort. Listen, if I say to you that I pray that the Lord comes back in the next few moments and you go, oh no, that wouldn't be a good idea, then why not? What are you doing? No, you see, death's not going to win. We'll hear more about death in a moment. But look at verses 51 to 52. On your mark, get set, bro, because what? It's about time. That's what it's about. It's about time. But we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Those three words you're going to want to know.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul continues his defense of the eventual resurrection, some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. Also, what kinds of transformed bodies we'll have in that resurrection. The title of this lesson is On Your Mark, Get Set. Now, if that leaves you wanting more, you'll have to join us again on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And remember to check out our current offer when you get half a chance. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you all 67 MP3s of Pastor Jack's series through 1 Corinthians, all on one USB flash drive. Now, if you'd like to find out more, go to realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Now, Pastor Jack, you know for a fact that I like this segment of Real Radio a whole lot. It's Ask Pastor Jack, where folks send in their questions to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. And we do our best to get yours on the air. Here's one from JC. Pastor Jack, I'm in my infancy of getting to know God and the Bible. Now, after a telephone conversation with my big brother recently, I was horrified to hear that he read a book and that he is no longer a believer in the Bible and that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, the book discusses a lot of discrepancies within the Bible. He goes on to say, I don't know why, but I just believe the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's just something that I feel and I don't question. I'm not a scholar, nor have I ever read the Bible cover to cover yet. This is where I need your help, Pastor Jack. What do I tell my lost brother?
How do I get him back on the winning team? He's a very fact-based guy. I can't just go to him and say, the Bible's real because I feel like it's real. He's not going to accept that. Help me, Pastor Jack, please.
Well, JC, that is an awesome question. And with the time that we have, I want to be very, very clear as much as possible. Number one, JC, I know this sounds crazy, but it is the basis to your brother's disbelief. Number one, he does not want to believe. That's why he says, I found a book that disproves the Bible. That's pretty remarkable, if you think about it, JC. You cannot find a book or books or libraries that can disprove the Bible. That's why the Bible is still the number one issue in the lives of people today around the world, and it's going to continue to be. I want to commend to you or recommend to you, for example, for your brother, for you yourself, get a book by Josh McDowell. Seeing how your brother wants to read anything but the Bible, then how about getting a book by Josh McDowell called More Than a Carpenter? Start there. And there's a second follow-up book entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict, both by Josh McDowell. There are other books, for example, by Lee Strobel, on becoming a believer and why you should trust the Bible. But here's what I want to say right now, because we have such a short period of time. Let's get to the heart of your brother. Of course, I don't know your brother, but I bet you your brother does not want God to be real. That would interrupt his lifestyle. It would somehow throw some sand into the wheels of what he wants to do. It's not advantageous for God to exist in your brother's life. Thus, how do you attack God? How do you try to get God out of your life? You attack his book. The only problem is, JC, people have attacked his book for millennia and have not been able to find one thing wrong with it. You notice your brother says that he found a book that shows discrepancies in the Bible. Guess what? If that were true, that book would be more famous than the Bible. It would be the number one selling book rather than the Bible. And this guy who wrote it would be a billionaire. Because the truth is, my friend, your brother has gravitated to a book that is full of falsification. You said that your brother's big on facts. I say he is not. Archaeology? Listen, number one book used for archaeological discovery by the Smithsonian Institute is none other than the Bible. The Bible is archaeologically dependable. The Bible is scientifically dependable. The Bible is geographically dependable. The Bible is linguistically dependable. We have more manuscripts on the Bible, nearly 14,000 manuscripts on the Bible and its authenticity and accuracy, than any other writing in human history. So, for example, if your brother really wants to take a good look at the Bible, my first question to him is, have you read it from Genesis to Revelation? Second thing is, mark down those areas that are discrepancies and then go research them, because your brother's not the first one to embark upon this quest. The cool thing is, every time someone goes and searches, most often the one who's doing the search, like Lee Strobel, for example, and like Josh McDowell, for example, wind up becoming believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sir Isaac Newton is one of them, for example. So listen, JC, I want to encourage you. Get into the Word of God, read the Bible, get into this science of the Bible called apologetics. Apologetics, that is knowing how to argue the Bible, and you will be happily blessed and amazed. And your brother, sad to say, at this time, is not open to the existence of God because his life has no room for God. And so he feels better by thinking he's disproved or discredited the existence of God. The cool thing is, every day your brother lays down at night with his head on a pillow and the Holy Spirit is still haunting him with truth. So JC, pray for your brother, be a good witness to him, and you study hard, my dear friend, but ask your brother to read More Than a Carpenter, and Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Indeed, a couple of great books. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, if you'd like to ask Pastor Jack, email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.